now.
11LRNI.
Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show.
Here comes LF Midwood.
Rough night in Providence. Anyway, welcome to Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood, and I don't know your name. Rough week. You know, I feel like really drained. I feel seriously kind of, you know, I've been taking all my meds, and I took my meds right before dinner, and dinner was meatballs, little tiny BB-sized meatballs. Sausages and red sauce, you know, the pot, the whole nine yards. So it wasn't bad. So I got up, like, I guess it was like, I don't know, 7 o'clock or something like that. I think it was 7 o'clock because we're actually waiting for a delivery today. We're getting a platform for our bed, finally, after all these years. We had a platform for our bed, and then our platform collapsed, and then we've been living with the bed on the floor in junky squalor for, I don't know, 5-6 years, and now we're getting a platform again. Yay. But it was supposed to be here today, and it's not, so I'm kind of bummed out on that. So I had dinner, and I didn't have any alcohol at dinner. Usually have some vino with the red sauce, but no. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like medicated, I guess would be the best way to put it. You know? And I don't know, it's I'm going to talk about my week a little bit. I know I did that last week, and I know I've been trying to stick to news and current events, but I was kind of taken aback by a couple of few things, maybe more than aback, but a couple of few things kind of happening in sequence, you know? I guess it started off with, I have a habit of whenever, Dan Douchebag Lewis posts on, any of the friends that we have in common, and I believe it's only like 2, possibly 3 friends in common, I always post right after him and I say, Danny's an ass clown. Because I honestly, in my heart of hearts, feel that Danny is an ass clown. You know, I feel, like I said, I've explained this publicly several occasions, and at the end of the day, I have to wonder what JP's boot tastes like, I guess. I don't know. Because there seemed to be a point in time that I specifically remember back in the 90s where when Danny had a broadcast out of JP's studios, which we non-affectionately referred to as the Tombs, that he would call up and he would cry on the phone to Randy like a little fucking girl. Oh, he makes me do this and he makes me do that and he doesn't let me do this and he doesn't let me do that. Like a little fucking girl. You know, I remember, you know, and this wasn't something that I heard either of them tell me. I was actually on the conference call. I heard it myself, you know. So Randy going up and, you know, going to bat for Danny, douchebag Danny Lewis, was one of the main reasons why Randy left R&I, the shortwave, at least the shortwave version of R&I. So that was, you know, pretty much like the truth, you know. And then we come back like a couple decades later, and you know, Danny's writing, oh, well, you know, it was just a different vibe over at JP's, you know. And you know, I could like work anywhere, so it really didn't matter. So you're totally losing out, you know, leaving out the key ingredient being that you used to cry like a little fucking girl about how he treated you up there and how horrible it was and how much you hated his fucking guts. But I guess years, decades, I guess, let's see, 1, 2, at least 2.5 decades later, I guess it was worth it for you to start licking some boot so you could get some airtime over there at the BCQ, I guess. I don't know. I can only imagine, because apparently there's a public story and there's apparently a behind-the-scenes story. And I know at the end of the day, I know why Randy hadn't spoken to you in, you know, going on like fucking 25 years. Oh, but douchebag Danny Lewis went to the funeral. Oh, so that makes it okay. That makes everything fine. Because if you go to the funeral, it cancels things out. Well, it doesn't. So I figure I owe it to Randy, whenever I see you post somewhere, to let the world know that you're a fucking ass clown. So that's what I do. It's a habit. I've been doing it now since Randy died, as a matter of fact. So I guess, what is it, slightly over a year? I guess it's September. So apparently Danny actually decided to reply this time. So we got into a little tussle in the middle of one of Hank Hayes' threads about one of his acting job classified ads, which are always fun. He puts those up on a regular basis. And, you know, I got a little profane there, and apparently douchebag Danny Lewis reported me to Facebook, because it's the first time ever I've been reported to Facebook. So they gave me the choice of removing the posts or, removing the posts. So I removed the posts. There was a couple of them, you know, but like I put in that last post up there, you know. Douchebag Danny Lewis, people are on to you. You know, I've spoken to a couple of few people over the years, people who matter, and they get it. They know what's going on, so whatever. You know, what they tell you to your face, you know, whatever. But they know the deal. So that being the case, he started the threat, and this is really interesting because he never replies. You know, he just leaves it alone, you know? He just leaves it alone. this time I guess I wiped just one too many, right? So he said, so the first thing he says, and this is, I tell you the truth. Well, I'll tell you what he said, and then I'll tell you how I reacted to it. He said, oh, poor LF Midwood, he must be off his meds. Okay, I kind of looked at that for a bit. I mean, I actually kind of stared at it for a couple of few minutes because before I even said anything out loud, you know, when you're kind of analyzing it, and I'm saying to myself, wow, isn't it interesting? And this would become somewhat of a little bit of a theme for the week, which was disconcerting to me, but this was the first example of it. So, isn't it interesting when somebody wants to discredit you that they automatically go towards your mental illness? You know, especially if you've been, I've been candid, I've been transparent, and I've been outspoken about my mental illness and how I, you know, live with it and deal with it on a daily basis, you know? And to have someone say that because I don't like them and because, and I publicly explained in that thread, I went on to explain just what I explained to you earlier, although I guess I was a little less profane about it in certain parts, where I said, you know what, not for nothing, you know, Randy would spit in your face, you know, Randy would definitely, and he's like, oh, Randy wouldn't be hanging out with a neo-Nazi like, oh no, what was it? It was a wannabe neo-Nazi like me. It's too bad the Germans didn't gas his ancestors, that we wouldn't have this problem. But anyway, it really took me back because it's like, what does it say about a person who, and you got to remember, this is on Facebook, right? And this is on Hank Hayes's, and one of Hank Hayes's threads, like I said. And the people who would be seeing this, they know me. They deal with me pretty much every day. I post on Facebook every friggin' day. I interact with people when I go over to the Hank and Jim chat room. I interact with these people on a regular basis. You know, I'm still the same old, you know, I'm maybe a little touchy every now and then. But as far as stark raving mad or out of my mind or any sort of major malfunction as a result of my meds or being on or off my meds, of which I am on my meds on a regular basis, by the way, my dad. It doesn't happen. I mean, I'm relatively, you agree with me or disagree with me, I'm within the parameters of stable. So I kind of felt all like, this is all we had. This is the first thing you opened up with, right? This is what, so you go for that because you don't have anything else because you know the truth. You know what I'm talking about is the truth. And you know, at the end of the day, everyone else knows it's the truth as well too. Or at least anybody who would be reading the thread knows it's the truth as well, too. But you go for that. So I was kind of stunned. I was kind of like, wow, I can't believe that somebody... And I thought to myself, wow, it says more about them than it does about me. And I was like, okay. And like a day later, they made me remove the post, which I did. And what I can't figure out is that, well, why doesn't douchebag Danny Lewis, why doesn't he just fucking... Why doesn't he block me? Why doesn't he, if I don't see him, I can't comment, right? And all I comment is, all I generally say is, Danny's an ass clown. Which they didn't make me remove, by the way, so I guess that's my end. But why doesn't he just mock me? Oh, I don't want to be deprived of my constitutional right for you to see what I'm posting. If it's that annoying to you, douchebag Danny Lewis, why don't you just block me? This is the same moron who has a fucking, what's his email address? He's got one of those fucking AOL email addresses. Sorry, JL. But yeah, he's got one of those fucking, you know, AOL email addresses, you know? So why don't you get yourself a real fucking grown-up email address as well, too? Not for nothing. Jesus Christ, you know? So they made me delete the post, which is the same as them deleting them. And he narked on me. Okay. And that was that. I'm pretty much moved on, you know? And like I said, whenever I see his shit, I'm just going to, Danny's a ass clown. And that's the end of the story. It was interesting, though, because it apparently broke community standards from what they were explaining to me and fell into the harassment bullying category. I found that to be interesting because I'd never had that happen to me before, not once ever. So it's like, wow. I couldn't figure out what was going on at first either. I was like, wait, they're not winning. That was kind of almost like shadow banned, kind of almost. And then it was like, boom, they hit me with the thing. And it's like, because I'm on Android 90% of the time, you know. And with Android, you pop and the app goes and that's the end of the story. You're in, you're out, whatever. Unless you sign out, which I generally don't do. So I hadn't initially realized what was going on, but I was like I said, the only thing that stunned me about it is that, and it's never really happened before. I've never had someone use my mental illness or at least attempt to use my mental illness against me. in some sort of way to indicate that, well, I'm obviously crazy, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, you know, or I don't agree with them, or I don't like them, because how could I not agree with them or not like them? How could that possibly be? It must be mental illness. It couldn't be anything else. Right. But it was like, wow. You know, boom, you know? And then a few days later, one of the people that I deal with on a regular basis, or was dealing with on a regular basis, over there at the Hank and Jim radio chat room, pretty much did the same. Pretty much amounted to the same. And unrelated now, you're like, whoa. You know, it's like, wait a second, you do a back check because you're thinking to yourself, wow, so because I don't agree with you, it's obviously my mental illness getting in the way, right? And that's what it has to be, my mental illness, obviously, right? And this is from someone who has a very feeble grasp on exactly what this mental illness is, by the way, I might add. So I was like, wow. You know, and I think on just having had that happen like a day or two before with douchebag Danny Lewis, I think I was like kind of like, nah, I'm not going to deal with this. So I just, that person's pretty much dead to me. Well, which is good. You know, there's another a case of addition by subtraction. But I sit here and again, I'm like, I deal with a lot of different people. Whether it be via internet now or whether it be via telephone, some people I know for a very long time, some people I don't know as long, some people I just met. So a wide variety of people, and then I've got the back check on my crack medical staff. I deal with them on a regular basis, and I deal with Gina on a regular basis, and I deal with my aunt on a regular basis. I deal with people on a regular basis, you know. And I generally get some sort of feedback from people one way or another, you know, about where I'm at, you know, particularly when I'm trying out new meds. Like, I just had that because I just went on to the Latuda. I still think that was named by a homosexual Mexican, but it's just so funny. So I try to be the phrase would be self-aware as I can. And I've always been that way, quite frankly, even before I had a proper diagnosis. Because again, I do not want, you know, I'm capable of separating my personal feelings on a matter from the clinical situation of what it is. And there are people out there apparently, and this is the thing, you know what? Your friends aren't going to do that to you. Now, I wouldn't expect that from douchebag Danny Lewis, because douchebag Danny Lewis is not my friend. Douchebag Danny Lewis hasn't been my friend since like 1992. Maybe earlier, I'm not even sure. And that's that. So, but when people that you are basically counting on, you know, that you're trusting to not be abusive of the fact that you're mentally ill. And you know, this is like the other side of the coin as well, too, you know, in a wider sense, because, and this is actually, so you know, this is maybe the third occurrence, but it wasn't like strange. It was strange, but it wasn't like anything like that, right? So, Pinball Wizard and I, we haven't been able to be as in much contact as we had formerly been, because my sleep schedule's all messed up, and he's super busy with his life now. He's, you know, things are really falling together for him, and I'm like utterly happy. You know, like I said, if not me, then at least him. But we do, you know, we play phone tag a little bit here and there. We text probably more than we talk these days. So he had texted me, I guess it was like last Sunday. I guess it'll be a week tomorrow, right? So he texts me, and I missed it because sometimes I just walk away from the phone. I put the phone down, and I'm doing something else. You know, I pretty much live in my pajamas. I think most of you are aware of this by now. Yeah? So I walked away from the phone. You know, I wasn't really what's going on. You know, so I get back, and there was like a text from him, and it was only like 15 minutes ago. So I figured, you know, let me call him. So I call him, and he's like, hey, what's going on? You know, he goes, I'm at my girlfriend's house. So I'm assuming, okay. No big deal. We can talk when you're not there. He goes, hey, you want to talk to her? I'm like, all right. So he puts me on the phone with his girlfriend. And we're on the phone for a couple of few minutes. And she says, what are you doing? Which is funny. And I'm like drinking coffee. And she goes, I guess it must have been like 10 o'clock at night or something, somewhere between 9 and 10. And she goes, oh, you know, you shouldn't drink coffee. It's going to keep you up. And I go, yeah, with all the psych meds that I'm on, it doesn't really affect. Because I'm just so used to like not, do you know what I mean? I it's like I wasn't conscious of the impact that it may or may not have had. It's just something that I would have normally responded to, as anybody said. And then it's like, yeah, and then it's like, oh, shit. So I said to myself, shit, now you're talking about, like, the segment. So you might as well, yeah, I'm bipolar, and it's mostly under control, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And we went on to talk for another couple of minutes. It was really, you know, pleasant. There wasn't anything. You know, there was just, like, that moment of, like, silence where there's, like, yeah, you know, so I'm bipolar, you know, and I don't think it was any sort of discrimination on her part, you know. I think it was more like, oh, what do I say now, you know? But that just goes to show, you know, I just don't think about it. Here's someone brand new that I had the opportunity, first time ever speaking to, that I had an opportunity of disclosing something to or not disclosing something to. And I did it without thinking. And I think for the most part, I spend so much of my time, particularly with this show, being transparent about, again, about my mental illness. I mean, I don't want anybody out there to think that I feel I represent all people with bipolar, because all people with bipolar are way fucking different than each other. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying I think the commonality, any way you look at it, if we're not on the same drugs, if we don't have the same treatment plan, we share the same stigma. And that being the case, I try to be as honest. Again, I want to be as honest and as forthright as I can. And I feel it's my responsibility to a large degree, because I think my level of articulation and my overall intellect, when all cylinders are firing, make me someone that I wouldn't mind having an ambassador for a mental illness, quite frankly. Just don't let me drink. No, kidding. At the end of the day, you know. But the other side, so there's that transparency, and I feel I'm doing the right thing with that transparency, and I don't even think about it. But the flip side of that transparency is people like douchebag Danny Lewis, and people who purported to have been my friend or friends can turn around and easily say, well, when I don't agree with you, your mental illness is a problem. As if I weren't mentally ill, I would certainly agree with them, because what they're saying is the God honest truth. And their viewpoint is 100% totally correct. So you kind of sit there and you're like, and I was like, I felt a little beat up this week. Let's just say, you know, you just become like a little cautious, you know, a little bit. It makes you kind of regret to a certain degree putting yourself out there. But this is who I am. Not for nothing, this is who I've always been. I think the mental illness is just another layer of that onion. But yeah, it bugged me. You know, I would go so far as to say, yeah, it hurt. I mean, if that's what douchebag Danny Lewis was going for, then you got it. You got it. I hope you're proud of yourself. Nice. and that's that, you know. So, I mean, I've had other people, you know, other friends that I've communicated with where, I mean, we just agreed that, you know, that just wouldn't become part of whatever the fuck was going on. It's just, you know, you can't, it's just, you can't turn around and say, oh, I'm not going to use it as an excuse, you know? And if I don't use it as an excuse, that means that you don't get to use it as a reason for there being an issue of some sort. So, you know, and at least it balances out that way. And that's really kind of like the way it should be, you know? But, yeah, it took me, and I guess it's the first time, and I guess maybe three things, and the third thing was I'm not putting Pinball Wizard's girlfriend in the same category as those other two by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just an instance where it popped up, and it's usually I go like weeks without, you know, without it, you know, nobody mentioning it to me except my medical people, you know, you know, going to doctor's office and whatnot, how you feeling, blah blah blah. So yeah, that was kind of weird. I mean, you know, it was definitely like, huh. So not a very good feeling, as I said, either. But, you know, I think back in retrospect, and I'm like, and I say to myself, if that's all they had, if that was the sole basis of their argument, well then, okay then. The rest of this week, there was something big that happened, like, on Thursday that I'll talk to you about, maybe in a couple few minutes, because I'm still, like, emotionally processing it, for lack of a better term. But this week was, I had a couple few things to do, and I wound up walking down to my, you know, to my counseling, as opposed to taking the car, which was still out of action here with the vehicle, you know, We've arranged, because the producer's got some stuff that she needs to take care of that's not local. We've arranged for that to be taken care of, which is good. We're waiting for our friggin', my cat's yelling at the door. We're waiting for the platform for the mattress to arrive, which would be nice because it's, you know, my back. It just kills me. You know, it's like I live in like a little junky squall right now. Because it's very Sid and Nancy-ish. You know, speaking of Sid and Nancy, I keep forgetting to mention this, you know. We have two small mice that apparently they live in the stove. I don't know how else to explain it. They pretty much live in the stove. And I call them Sid and Nancy because I like it. And they're like cute little, I assume them to be boy and girl. And it just made sense the way my mind works to call them Sid and Nancy. And they've lived there for quite some time. And they're cute because they pop up out of the burners. Not when the burner's going, so they're pretty smart, you know. And the oven on doesn't seem to affect anything. So I guess, I don't know what they're doing in there, but they're apparently safe. But what happens is that, so whatever cooking will need to happen will happen. Take place on the stove and the oven, and then food will be put on the counter. And we have a habit of covering our food anyway as soon as we're done serving. So it's not an issue, if you know what I'm saying, as far as the mice go. But they pop up, and they you can see them, they go to the edge of the little cast iron frying pan, and they put their little toesies in, and they go like this to see what's going on in there, and then they come back down, which is great. And I think the cats have tried to get them, but Spatsy doesn't seem to be too interested in micing these days. I don't know what it is. He's 9, you know, maybe he's getting a little old and cranky and stuff, and Corny just seems to love it, but she just seems to walk around with them in her mouth and then put them down so they'll run away again, because it's all just one big game to her. But she's only 5, so that could have something to do with it. So my cats aren't really... I would think just cats in general. It used to be in the old days, just having a cat would be like, you know, oh, the mice would be like, oh, there's a cat. And they would just go somewhere else where there isn't a cat because, you know, Darwin and all that, you know. But these days, no, apparently not. So I gotta, you know, and I won't do glue traps. I did glue traps once when I lived in Brooklyn. Me and my ex-wife, we did glue traps, and it was a horrifying, all I will say, it was a horrifying experience that I do not ever plan on going through again. So glue traps, not good, you know what I mean? Freaking me out. So yeah, they were down there after the meatballs. But BB-sized meatballs, I don't understand why they were so small. Christ, thanks. But anyway, I forgot why I started talking about Sid and Nancy and mice, but maybe just to lighten things up a little bit after that last little bit there. I guess as you may be able to tell, I took a shower right before the show, and I'm perspiring. Actually, maybe just still moisture retained from the shower itself. I don't know. Sorry to say. The next part of this, I guess, is going to be, like, really kind of difficult. And I got a couple of weeks, actually, before anything happens. But, I left nice and early on Thursday because I wanted to make sure that I made my appointment, which I did. I walked really slow and really deliberately. When I was on the treadmill, I was doing about 2 miles, give or take. And I was doing hills, but it's kind of gradual. I think anybody who's been on a treadmill knows it's gradual, and then it's gradual down, and then the actual step rebounds because they just bounce back up, you know, while concrete obviously doesn't do that. So I made it there okay, got there, and it was actually right before the snow, you know, and I was kind of concerned about the snow, so I had my Carhartt on, the big Arctic version of the one, the corduroy one, you know, and the hat and the whole thing, and my headphones and the phone and all that. And so I was sweating like a pig when I got there because it's like a little microwave oven inside that coat. It's absolutely crazy. But it's really great for standing still. If you're standing still in the cold, that's the one I would recommend. If you're actually moving around, anyway. So I get there, and I'm a bit early, so I'm playing on my phone, and I'm trying to figure out and catch up on my social media, which I wind up... I've stayed active with the social media, regardless of where my mental state has been at. I'm hitting Twitter every day. I'm hitting Facebook every day. I'm hitting Gab. Gab is back. I don't know if I mentioned that last week, or maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But Gab is back. Gab is running again. I don't know whose servers they're on or who's their registry is or any of their infrastructure backbone stuff, but they are back. So I'm gabbing every day, and I've recently started to hit Pinterest again, which I hadn't been doing for a while. I worked myself back up to Pinterest. So I'm hitting all, and Instagram. So I'm hitting all four, plus the one majorly alternative social media platforms. And Hello High Water, no matter how I feel good, I feel bad, I hit those, because it's, you start missing it. It's like that person that you talk to, and then, you know, maybe you miss, like, you were supposed to call them, or they were supposed to call you, and they missed, and then the next thing you know, it's, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years before you talk again. You know, it's that sort of thing. So I wanted to make sure that I stay with it. And I have been, which is like, you know, so no matter where I wind up, I can hit the phone, and I'm like, couple in a doctor's office, where I am, downstairs. It's like, for me to miss a phone, or, you know, a phone call or a text is like, because I usually am in the house, and if I'm in the house, the phone is with me, in the bedroom or whatever, and or maybe next to the tablet, because I like to use a 10-inch tablet if I can, because it's twice as big as the phone. Math again. So I'm sitting there in the doctor's office, and I knew the storm was coming, so I figure, okay, so I want to get the appointment in, which I know these counseling appointments are, like, at times paramount to my existence at this point in time. I mean, really, really, really gotten me through some really, really rough spots that I've had in the last year or so. So the idea of missing one of those, you know, or just because it was going to snow or something, is like, no. I mean, I can't. Even if I had to walk, if I had to crawl, I would have made it, you know. So my counselor shows up, and so we go into the office, and my counselor's woman, and, you know, she sits down, and she says, you know, sit down, take the jacket off, and the first thing she says to me is, at the end of the year, I'll be leaving. And I, like, you know, I had to, you know, like, the wind was knocked out of me. There's really no other way to put it. You know, because it's not, it's just, you know what it is with counseling, and I don't know how many of you have gone through it. I don't know. I know some of my friends even have difficulty getting services, let alone being able to stay with the same counselor for like 2 years or whatever. I've been with this person for almost 2 years, and I made a fair amount of breakthroughs with this person, and I have the utmost respect for this person, and I could honestly say I trust her emphatically, because she's maybe the only person in my life, and I would have to really think about it, who is entirely in my corner, in the sense of that she doesn't have an agenda. She has no vested interest other than my well-being. And I don't know whether we realize that or not, but it's, you know, as and I say to you, all of you out there, I don't know whether you realize that or not, but that is a very rare thing. And this isn't to say that you don't have people that love you and care about you and care about you oodles and tremendously and maybe love you more than anybody else in the world, but the point is that they still have some sort of emotional investment in you, which taints things. They have skin in the game. This is to break it down to its lowest common denominator. They have skin in the game. Well, a counselor is that third person. She's looking at things through, you know, a particular, in her own little corner, and she doesn't have a vested interest other than my well-being. Things that make me happy, things that make me better. You know, I built a... It takes a while to build a trust. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not easy. My friends, you know, let alone the people listening to this show, but my friends will tell you, no, he's not fucking easy. I'm not easy. I'm not an easy person to deal with when I don't want to be an easy person to deal with. Let's not kid ourselves. So the fact that she survived the initial onslaught, and it had come on the heels of a really bad counselor, so I was pretty much fee-fi-fo-fumming my way through the first couple of sessions because I was just being a dick. Because that's one thing I can do. Now, if Danny had called me a dick, which I think he might have at some point in time, or this other person had just called me a dick or an asshole, you know, it would have been like, all right. You know, I would have been like, you might have a point there. Anyway, the thing of it is that last year, this person's father, her mother had cancer for a while, and her mother was dying of cancer, and her mother died last year. And she took some time. She didn't take a lot of time off, but she took some time off in order to deal with the funeral and whatnot. But she basically worked a full-time job, and I am out to a part-time job. She is, I'm the only person she sees over where I see her. She drives in from the, so they actually import someone from the suburbs in order to deal with me, which is pretty funny. I kind of knew from talking to her about it that she kind of regretted not taking more time to spend with her mother before her mother died. And we knew last year when she was talking to me about this that her father also had cancer, though it looked like he was doing pretty well. And I guess it reached a point on, because we were talking about her father's got a girlfriend now, which is like pretty cool. He's like 80 something and is like high 80s, and or you know, and he's got like a girlfriend, which is like, I was like, really? Wow. So, you know, I was aware that her father was still ill, but I was also thought he was just doing better. You know, we don't talk about her a lot, but it does. I mean, when you're building trust, that's part of the trust process, you know. I guess she, you know, what am I going to say? I mean, I knew immediately when she said she was taking off time to spend with her father. I mean, I knew immediately what that meant, because her and I had talked about, you know, how she regretted not doing so with the mother. And you know, so I can't, you know, how do you begrudge somebody that? It's like, you know, it's impossible. Quite frankly, it's impossible to begrudge somebody like that, you know. So, and I had been praying for him. I mean, he's in, when I was praying regularly, I was praying for him. And now I guess I have to start doing that again, which I'll do if only for that purpose. Because God and I are still kind of, what now? What else are you going to take from me? What you know? What I feel kind of like Job, only I'm not a very good person. So I guess I'm looking up when I say this. So I guess that doesn't make me very Job-like, does it? Huh? All right. Well, but so I'm basically crushed. You know, this is like this person is like she's irreplaceable. You know, and I've been fortunate. I know I talked about, she's been great. She's been more than great. My shrink person who does my meds she's really cool, and she's street, so she can deal with me on a bit more of a, you know, a toe-to-toe level. And I know I talked a lot about my case manager over at my health insurance company. The first one I had, I don't even know the name of the second one. What's that tell you? But the first one I had who was instrumental in pulling me through the process, whether I wanted to go or not. So I have been fortunate in regards to the Affordable Care Act, in regards to the level of care that I've gotten and the level of consideration. And I'm from my understanding, from talking to other people, I am definitely in the minority in that sense. That doesn't happen to everyone. They're not fortunate enough to be dealing with people in the system to the high character level that I have been. And, you know, I don't take that for granted. And, you know, the first thing I saw in the first words I spoke, because, I mean, it was hard because, I mean, she has family obligations, you know, and that's like the end of that. There's just nothing. If I had a family and I would like to think that I would, you know, I would be doing the same thing when that needed to be done in regards to make the decisions that you need to make based upon your family. And first thing I said to her is, you know, I'm grateful for the 2 years that we had, you know, almost 2 years that we had. I mean, I don't want to, you know, it's just devastating to me, but I don't want that to be, you know, I don't want you to feel bad about that. You don't have anything to feel bad about. She doesn't have anything to feel bad about. And we still have two more sessions left, so it's going to get kind of icky there towards the end, I think. But yeah, and the first thing she said to me is that she's looking into who she might be able to have replace her. So apparently right there in that office, they don't have anybody. And not for nothing, I don't really like the people in that office. Big shocker. but there's a satellite office out in the suburbs that she's going to talk to somebody out there and hopefully get me, because there's great value in having my physical medical and my psych all in one place, as far as record keeping and the level of communication between them. in their system, you know, they have lifespan here in Rhode Island, so it's kind of like, it's almost like a statewide system, but it's really not the same. Where I am with CCAP, they definitely are handing in. I mean, they're literally locked like that. Ooh, I just went over my face. Locked like that. And that's what, you know, it's the best care you can get. As far as, I'm not saying the care itself has been the best at all times, but just the idea of having these people being able to communicate with each other, something as simple as looking in the records. Every time one of them opens up my medical records, there's the notes from the other one. So there's constant feedback to each other, which is obviously extremely valuable to the patient. So we're going to see if we can get me to see someone out there. Someone out there will take me on, and that'll be it's twice a month, you know. But it's like now having head out to the suburbs like twice a month, and it's not too far from where we go shopping to BJ's. So I'm thinking maybe one of those trips we can fold into a shopping trip, and then the other one would just be like the other trip. And once we have a car again, which I presume by January, my aunt's saying by the end of December into January, we'll have some sort of wheels. So it's not the biggest deal in the world. It's just a little bit more mileage. Now, worst case scenario, and she can't get anybody out there to take me, you know, sick puppy that I am. She mentioned that the person that I originally saw when I first went in to the psych program over at CCAP, who went out on his own and started his own practice, which is why he left, is somewhere in Cranston. And if he takes my insurance, there's the possibility of going to see him. And he, I had a pretty good relationship. It was a very short period of time, but it was a very good relationship. He's also the only male counselor I ever had, which was really kind of weird. So that would be like a fallback. But I think the thing, one of the things anyway, the idea of having to tell the story or any of it all over again is beyond painful. I don't have the heart to do it again. I mean, I've been hanging on by my fingernails as of late. And the idea of having to explain any of this to anyone is like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. It's not even a matter of whether I want to do it or not. I don't know if I can do it. And I think she knows that. So I think we'll have to see what the deal was, because she says she's going to do her best to give some sort of thumbnail sketch. I guess they do that. Because she keeps notes and whatnot. But I think I'm interested in moving forward as much as I can, inch at a time if need be. I can't go through the past again. I just can't do it. I know how I got here. You know what I mean? And I understand what happened and what's what and what the deal is. And I need to move forward. I don't need to. It's not about the train set I didn't get or any other things I didn't get. It's about moving forward. I need to hold my ground and move forward when possible. Hold my ground and move forward when possible. That's my plan. That's, you know, so, you know, I was talking to her about it, and she's like, yeah, no, I can certainly understand that. And then I was like, well, because she said there's a possibility that the building that we were standing in would be hiring sometime soon, and they might get people there. And I said, while that would be convenient, there's no window for that, right? And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, I don't think it would be fair to start a relationship with a new counselor and not have the intention of continuing with it and following through. This isn't the sort of thing where there's like spares, you know. You just like, it's not like changing a tire. It's a bit more complicated than that, you know. If you've ever been, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I got my bed platform ordered. That was like the high point of the week. All the rest of it's been shit. I mean, like real shit, not just like the regular. Although the storm was interesting. I beat the storm home. I was just walking up my porch when the little tiny little flakes started coming down. And then I came up and I was talking to the producer for about a half hour. Hadn't even really taken all my winter stuff off yet.
because I can get to my closet now. I'm very happy. And I looked out the window, and it was like, woof. So I don't know, maybe 3 inches here, and I think 7 in the north. My understanding is New York got hit a bit harder. But for a Thanksgiving storm, or, you know, for a fall storm, that was a bit of a doozy, you know. As for how I'm feeling, I think I was feeling a little bit better before Thursday. That much I can tell you. And my big thing going forward is that I don't want, it's like I find myself in a situation where I don't want this person to feel any bad or worse than they do about, you know, what the situation is. It's so weird how often I find myself in that particular situation, you know, that particular scenario. But I can't lie and say I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. You know, leave some chewing gum on your way out. I mean, I don't, you know. Yeah, I'm fine. It's going to be good. Everything's great. Right. You know, and this is the person that I was talking to about checking in. And, you know, when I say checking in, I mean going in for psyche eval in the hospital. Butler. I don't have the time to do that shit now. I don't have the time. I literally, there's things going on that I'm not talking about that affect my ecosystem that I need to stay frosty for. And there's stuff I need to do. There's obligations that I need to fulfill at this point in time. So I don't have the luxury of checking into the psych ward for a couple of few days or any of that right now. Just getting ready for stuff. Getting ready for other stuff. So once the new year rolls around, it's a different story. So, but yeah, I would, like I said, I think if I felt I had the luxury of doing so, I would have already gone in and talked to somebody at the hospital and seen what the story is. You know, didn't want to redo my meds and fucking lithium and shit like that. You know, I gotta tell them about my lithium experience. I was supposed to go into the pre-hearing powwow, the parlay, if you will, with my lawyers for the SSI, but I have another appointment on that day that I can't cancel. It's with my meds person, as a matter of fact. And the thing of it is, she's giving me the Latuda on samples, and she's got about 2 years worth of samples, so she shouldn't be running out anytime soon. But by the same token, I need to see her to get them. It's not like, oh, I can skip it and then go. No, I'm actually out of that med within the next 5 days. I have five doses left. So, because it's a once a day. Actually, apparently, Chris, I think Pimble was his girlfriend, said she saw the commercials for it. Because she asked, and I said, I'm on the tutor right now. I started something new, so it kind of messes up anything anyway. Because this was talking about the coffee, and she's like, well, then the coffee really shouldn't matter. He's like, you got bigger problems than the coffee, I suppose. It's like, yeah. But anyway. But apparently they show commercials for Latuda on television. I think it's the first med I've ever been on that's on television. Ooh. I guess the bad part of that is it's not going generic anytime soon. So it's going to, you know, cost. Because the reason I'm on samples is because my insurance company doesn't cover it at this point in time. So we even did the thing of requesting it through the formaria. I think they call it anyway. But they're a pharmacy, and I believe we got shot down a while ago because she was talking to me about it a while ago. I'm very hesitant to change meds, as most of you know at this point in time. So, yeah, that's what's going on in my world. All the cats have stopped sneezing. Actually, Corny sneezed today, but I think it was related to cleaning her foot. I'm pretty sure. So that's what's going on there. Thanksgiving dinner's all. I think we have most of the stuff we need, and the producer's doing it. Shortly thereafter, I'm going to take over the cooking again. Probably sometime in mid-January, I'm going to be doing all the cooking again, which is fine. You know, the mundane stuff, but the fun stuff too. So, you know, that's cool. And I'm just kind of like looking to see what happens next. You know, I'm looking to see what God drops on my head next. I am, because I'm a bad man. I'm worse than the orange man. I'm a bad man. don't know. Is there anything else really going on? And the beard's going, huh? Still? Yeah, I think I'm keeping it. I think I'm keeping it. It makes me look the way I feel, you know. So, you know, and that's another thing. You know, going into that SSI hearing in like January, end of January, and you know, I think the beard lends a certain, you know, to it, you know, maybe drool, see what I can get going there. And I also don't want to be out of treatment. That's another thing. So, like I said, I'm hoping that by at least when my counselor leaves, I'll have confirmation of starting with someone in January, you know, February, even if it takes just a tiny bit to get started with them, you know, I have to wait a little bit. At least come hearing time, I can say I'm in treatment. I'm just waiting for reassignment to another counselor. And I've been in treatment consistently for the last, you know, two some odd years, going on over 2 years. Because all these things matter, you know, all these things matter. And I tell you, honestly, for me to really feel anything at this point in time, it's pretty something, because these drugs, I'm really now at the point where the drugs are really, really knocking out a lot of, you know, and there's a fair amount of numbness. I mean, it's just not, things just aren't, you know, all right, you know. It's like I'm able to intellectualize things, but there's even less emotional involvement. There's less, you know, I feel more emotionally detached probably than ever. So, which is good. I still get upset, though. It takes a lot, but I still get upset, as people will know. Raise your hand if I got you upset in the last month or so. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of friggin' people out there. Anyway, I blew right past the top of the hour. I didn't have anything ready to go anyway. I got to start tightening that. I wasn't even going to play music tonight. And then I was like, you know what? I like this track. I haven't heard that in a long time. I don't even remember who did it. Tough Night in Jericho. Good track, though. I put some thought into what the close track is going to be. But I didn't even have any music. I told the producer like maybe half hour before the show, I'm not even doing any music. I'm just going to play an opening and I'm going to wine. Want some cheese with that wine? Huh? Want some crackers? Huh? And I'm like, man, this sucks. But, you know, I said I was going to be here. And I'm talking, this is real. I put my, this is real stuff. These are real things that are affecting someone, you know. I think, barring any sort of major catastrophe in my life between now and next week, I do want to start to branch back out into, like I said, current events and news, because I was having fun with that to one degree or another. I was enjoying doing it anyway. The Assange thing is starting to heat up a little bit, so I think maybe I want to talk about that next week. And that actually had quieted down quite a bit. I know there was going back months and months ago. He was still in the embassy, but the Peruvians were like having issues paying for some of the stuff, and I think they cut his Wi-Fi off, and I think there was all sorts of other shenanigans going on. And now, most recently, as I'll just mention briefly, they found some sealed warrants in the courts that they dating back to August, I believe, by accident. They were actually looking at another case, and it kind of popped up. It crossed it in co-defendants or something along those lines. And I believe it doesn't have anything to do with the sexual allegations out of Sweden. This is new charges that would have been brought by the U.S. government. So maybe I'll do that next week, because I do feel rather emotional about Assange. I think he should be afforded the First Amendment. If Jim Acosta, don't even get me started, all right, then just think that. If Jim Acosta, fill in the blank, Julian Assange. And that's that. So anyway, head over to lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood.com. You'll find my archives, mostly audio now, although we are starting to put new shows where we'll all be video archived. And sometime soon, I'm going to get back to putting some of those older shows, make those available on video archive again. I just haven't figured out what I want to do with the server, quite frankly. My understanding is it's working, and that's really all I care about at the moment. Not looking to do anything new. Maybe once we're into the new year and you know, things, my time becomes more available to be able to do such things, I'll look into that Linux upgrade and take it from there. But anyway, lfmidwood.com gets you all the stuff. You can get over to John Lightning's site, and you can archives on my social media. Check out my over here on this side. I always do that because it's mirrored. Check out my links to places that I frequent and or advise that you should. And that's all that's really going on. So I'm going to play one more tune, and then I'm going to get out of here. Let me see if I can, let's see, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to, let's see, wait, okay. So I'm going to do this, right, and then I'm going to do that, and that didn't work. Okay, jeez. So let's see, I'm going to put this back over here. They can't see me!
You're concerned about my happiness, but all that thought you're giving me is conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. While you and your friends are worried about me, I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Last night I dressed in tails, pretended I was on the town. As long as I can dream, it's hard to slow the swinger down. So please don't give a thought to me, I'm really doing fine. You can always find me here and having quite a time. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you, I must go, I know I look a fright. Anyway, my eyes are not accustomed to this light, and my shoes are not accustomed to this hard concrete. So I must go back to my room and make my day complete. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Don't tell me I've nothing to do.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.